Yeah, right. So we're going to do a Yesod in the Rambam. Somebody raised the question on one of the on the fifth Yesod in the Rambam in Sanhedrin. Yes, you got it here. Okay. I just want to mention that Kafach's edition is not necessarily the best one. That, like the Rambam wrote in the letter to Shmuel ibn Tibbon, that in translating philosophy, it's not a matter of translating things literally. You have to translate the ideas. So a lot of time, I mean, Shmuel ibn Tibbon knew the ideas, so his translation is many times better than Kafach's was just a literal one. Everybody thinks that Kafach is the best translation. It's not necessarily true. You really have to, it really depends. Because the difficult thing is to dig out the idea. So, at any rate, let's take the problem. Okay. Okay, so the Rambam is the Yesod HaChamishi, the fifth principle, in Chelek, in the Sanhedrin, Pirush Mishnayos. So he says, Shehu Yisal Lahu Asher Roy La'avdo La'romo La'farsim G'duloso Mishmato, that God alone is the one that you should praise and you should publicize his greatness. Ve'enos and Kain L'masha L'mato Mimenu, V'mtsiyas Min HaMalachim. And you don't do this for anything that's lower than God in existence, like the Malachim. Anything that anything in the creation that's lower than God. Because they are all imprinted, so to speak. They have teva, they have a nature in all their works and everything they do. And Ein Lahem Shilton. They don't have any control or any rulership. Velo bechira, and no free will. El ritzono yisala, only God's will. So therefore he says that seems to follow according to him that's why you can't be mefarsim or praise any one of the malachim. And then he says, "Vein osin osam emtsoyim," and you don't make them into mediums, lagia b'hem elov, to reach God through them. You don't use them as an intermediary. Okay. Elaklapov yisala yechavna machshavos, but only to God should one always be machavein, attach his machshavos. V'yaniach kol mashas losan, should leave everything besides God. It says, and most of the Torah came to teach us this idea. Okay, so here he seems to state clearly that the Malachim don't have any bechira, they don't have any free will. In the Maror Nevuchim, Book 2, Chapter 7, he says the following. Now, we have already explained that the term angel is a homonym and is used of intellectual beings. For all these are engaged in performing a divine command. But do not imagine that the intelligences... I'm leaving out the spheres, because the spheres is a different thing. That the intelligences, he means the malachim, are like other forces which reside in bodies and act by the laws of nature. Do not think they act by the laws of nature without being conscious of what they do. Okay? The spheres and the intelligences are conscious of their actions and select by their own free will the objects of their influence. although not in the same manner as we exercise free will and rule over things, which only concern temporary beings. Okay, that's a separate thing. But basically he says that they're conscious of what they're doing, and they have free will. Now he says, I have been led to adopt this theory by certain passages in Scripture. For example, an angel says to Lot, for I cannot do anything. That the angel says, I'm restrained, I cannot do anything. But he implies that he's the doer. Okay, and telling him to deliver himself, the angel says, behold, I have accepted thee concerning this thing. Because Lot asked him to save Tzoar, because he said, I won't be able to make it to the mountains. So save the city of Tzoar, and then I'll be able to be saved through that city. So the angel said, I accepted you. Which means that he accepted, out of his own free will, he accepted Lot's request. So you see that the angel has free will. These passages show that angels are conscious of what they do and have free will in the sphere of action entrusted to them, just as we have free will within our province and in accordance with the power given to us with our very existence. And he goes into the difference. The difference is that what we do is the lowest stage of excellence, and that our influence and actions are preceded by non-action, whilst the intelligences and the spheres always perform that which is good. They contain nothing except what is good and perfect, as will be shown further on, and they have continually been active from the beginning. Okay, I'm not going to go into the active part. That's a separate thing, because they're not physical, so they're always active. It's a part of Rama's philosophy. But it seems clear that the Rambam over here maintains that the angels do have free will. So this seems to contradict the fifth yesod, which maintains the angels do not have free will, and therefore it's not befitting to praise them, because they don't have free will. So it seems like an open contradiction, but what is serious about the contradiction is not just a matter of a contradiction. It would seem that he would have to retract his fifth yesod. Because he premises the reason why you can't praise anyone other than God, anyone lower, is because anything lower doesn't have free will. But if it had free will, apparently, then you'd be able to praise it because it exercised free will. So it would turn out that, according to the Rambam and the Mora, he would have abandoned his fifth yesod. Now, we know simply that's not true, because the Rambam kept on going over the yesodos. So had he really changed his mind about the fifth yesod, he would have written it as such. He would have expressed himself. But he never did retract the fifth yesod. So apparently there's a misunderstanding here in the words of the Rambam that he wrote in the yesodos. And the Rambam what he wrote in the Mar Nevucha. Okay? So I'd like to explain the seeming contradiction. You see, the problem over here is that what the Rambam means by free will, he means two different things. Because the Rambam mentions that many times philosophers appear to be in contradiction, because you see the same term used in two different places. And in one case it's used to propose something, and in the other case it's used to reject something. So it seems to be a contradiction. But the problem is that the term does not mean the exact same thing. And that's what I think the answer is to this seemingly contradictory two places in the Rambam. See, what the Rambam means by praise and... What the Rambam means by praise in the Yesod HaChamishi, he means a certain kind of praise. He doesn't mean there are two types of praise. For instance, when he says you can't praise anything that's lower than God and the creation. So does that mean you can't praise a human being? Okay. But we do praise a human being. Okay. So what's the answer? The answer is we praise a human being because we praise him in a relative sense. In other words, we praise a human being because we say that he exercised his free will in a manner which is admirable to us. So he's deserving of praise, okay? So in that context of praise, that's what I would term a relative praise, okay? In other words, relative to us, we recognize a certain good point in this person's being, and we honor it, and we admire it, and we may even envy it. So in that sense, we praise a person in a relative sense, okay? But there's another kind of praise. The other kind of praise is absolute praise. Absolute praise means that we recognize absolutely the greatness of a certain being. So that's a different concept of praise. Different concept of praise. Okay? So with a malach, for instance, a person can never give a malach relative praise. You can never say this malach is a good malach. He exercised his bechira very well. Because we're not in this framework. And that's why the Ram mentions that there's a difference between our bechira, our free will, and the malach's free will. Okay? So you could never say about a malach, you could never give relative praise about a malach and say he was a good malach. I admire this malach, the way he exercised his bechira. Because he's not in our realm. So the only praise you can give him would be absolute praise. Absolute in terms of his existence. But that would be wrong. Because the only absolute praise is in relationship to God. Because he endowed the malach with his nature. So the absolute praise is not to the malach. The absolute praise is in relationship to God. So when the Rambam mentions Bechira in the context of the Yesod HaChamishi, okay, so he's referring to absolute praise. Now, since he's referring to absolute praise, so he's also referring to absolute Bechira. You see, absolutely free. That would be deserving of absolute praise. But if the malach doesn't have absolute bechira, so then there's nothing to praise in him, because whatever he is, he's a result, he's endowed by the Creator with whatever nature he has. So there's nothing absolute in his bechira. So the answer to the seeming contradiction in the Rambam is that what the Rambam is saying in the Mora is simply the following. He's saying when a malach performs something, so the result of what the malach does is directly attributable to the action of the malach, to his free will. It's not attributable to God in the sense that he's like an automaton, and he's like osa malach of ruchos. The wind could be a malach of God also. But if the wind is a malach of God, the wind is not endowed with any intelligence. Okay? So what the Rambam says is that there are intelligences. And these intelligences, when they are assigned a sphere of action, so whatever is accomplished is directly traceable to their nature and their intelligence and their free will and their exercising of that free will. So when the malach was entrusted with saving Lot and destroying the five cities, this was something that was entrusted to his intelligence. He had to make the decisions. So Lot gave him the information, and Lot asked him to save him. That's not praying to a malach. That's making a request. I want to get to the point what difference between making a request and praying is. There's a big difference between those two things. But basically, what it means is, all Lot did was he gave the malach the information that he's unable to escape. And therefore he needs the malach to intervene and to save the city of Tzoar, so that he's capable of escaping and saving his life. And that was what the malach was entrusted with, and was endowed with that job to make sure that Lot is saved and that the five cities are destroyed. So he had to make a decision, and the decision that he made was, let Zohar go, and it's more important to save Lot. So the fact that that the four cities were destroyed and the one city was not destroyed is directly attributable not to an act of an unintelligent being. It's not directly an act of God. It's really an act of a being that exercised his intelligence and his free will in making a decision. And that's what the Rambam means in the Maor Nevuchim by the fact that a Malach has free will. Okay? And it's not something that he changed his mind about because he quotes the Psukim. And it would be foolish to think the Rambam didn't know these Psukim. I mean, and simply suddenly woke up and found these Psukim. So the Rambam always held that way. But what the Rambam means in the Yesod HaChamishi of free will is absolute free will and absolute praise. Absolute praise you can't give absolute praise for a free will that's entrusted in a certain area, because that's a result of God's creation, and it praises to God that He created such an intelligence that can act that way and can do it, can accomplish with its knowledge what it has to accomplish. So that's the direct praise of God. And if you praise the Malach, you're implying that he's a prime mover. Then it's absolute praise. That he's a prime mover, he has shilton, absolute shilton, and he has absolute free will, and that's why you're praising him for what he is. As if what he is attributable to himself. And he has free reign as a prime mover. That is what the Rambam says in Yesod HaChamishi is Avodah Zarah. Okay? So it doesn't matter if the Malach has free will. It depends what you mean by free will. If you mean by free will he's endowed with an intelligence, God endowed him with a certain nature and a certain intelligence that he's capable of accomplishing something, and the thing that is accomplished is directly traceable to him, that's okay. That's on the contrary. That's Shvach Hashem Makom, that he created such a being. But if you praise the Malach per se, saying you're not praising him in a relative sense, like we said, like you're praising a human being, so you're praising him in an absolute sense. So then you're projecting onto the Malach absolute powers. And that's the only framework in which that would make sense. And if you do that, that's what the Rambam says of Avodah Zarah. Okay, that answers the contradiction. Okay, any questions?
Yeah, Rebbe?
Yeah.
Could you just clarify what the difference is between giving a human relative praise and the Malach relative praise? What's the problem with giving Malach relative praise?
It doesn't make any sense.
Can you just explain that again?
Okay. Okay. All right. When you give a person relative praise, what you're saying is that he's in line, you're praising him for being in line with a good quality, a good trait that he has. And he's not giving in to the other side of his nature. As you would recognize the challenge in yourself. So that's why you praise him. But with regard to a Malach, obviously such an idea is absurd. What are you going to say? He's a very good Malach. What do you know about Malachim? Mm-hmm. And the whole idea doesn't make any sense. It's not a praise for you to learn from, because you can't learn from a Malach, because he's a different existence. So it's not a relative praise. So what are you praising him for? So the only reason you could praise him is for his being. So if his being is simply a result of God's creation, so the praise, the deserving praise, is to God. Okay? Okay. Now just give me one second. There's one thing about something. What if somebody would ask the following question? They'd say, look, the Egyptians were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but the Egyptians, as we know from the Torah and also historically, that they did believe in a supreme being. Okay, because Paro lo yadati es Hashem means not that he doesn't know the idea. It means I have no shaychus to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to him about God. He knew what he meant. So the Egyptians believed in sub deities, and all their worship was to the sub deities. Okay, and that's real Avodah Zarah, genuine Avodah Zarah. But the sub deities, they believed each sub deity was, so to speak, appointed or had control over a certain area. And they'd appeal to that sub-deity to try to influence the sub-deity to do what is beneficial for them. Okay? So why wouldn't you say that that's not really Avodah Zarah? Because it's limited. It's not absolute. Okay? Because they believe that each sub-deity has its own province, its own area, its own sphere of operation. Right? So why is that considered Avodah Zarah? Why? What's the answer to that question? That's correct. The answer is because they try to appeal to that sub-deity because they believe that sub-deity has total absolute rule within that province, within that sphere. Okay? So it doesn't matter whether you limit the absolute. As long as you say or believe that the free will that this being has is absolute in its sphere, that is also absolute. In other words, that God has nothing to do with the lower world, and he appointed these beings to be in charge of certain things, but it's totally up to them, so you have to appeal, you have to find favor in their eyes in order to appeal to them so they can exercise their absolute reign over their sphere of action. So that's also absolute. Absolute, you have to be careful with the term absolute. Absolute means absolute in kind, absolute in nature, not absolute being the only one. So as long as the person thinks that there's a sub-deity that has absolute control, so then already he's in the sphere of absolute praise. And that's why he's giving this this imaginary sub-deity, he's giving it total praise because he believes it has absolute powers. Okay, so you have to be careful with the term absolute. Absolute doesn't mean the only absolute. When we, in reference to God, we mean the absolute in the fullest sense of the word. Okay, but a person would be an Avodah Zarah even if he didn't mean the full sense of the word, but he meant that that this being is appointed and has absolute reign over the area that it's that it controls. Okay? That's why it's important to go through this because, like the Rambam says, Yesodus, you've got to go through many times because there are a lot of facets to it. So the question you're asking is what? How could Lot ask the Malach to save him because he's implying that the Malach has absolute powers in that sphere, and he does. It's up to him. That's a good question. That's a good question. All right, so how would you answer that? No, the answer is there's a difference between placing a request and between prayer, avodah. Okay? See, the Rambam says in the Yesod HaChamishi, Shehu Yisalahu Asheroi Lo'ovdo. Is this Kavach, by the way?
Not the other
Gerson. No, the other Gerson is a little better. You go, do me a favor, read it. Okay. But even in Kavach, it's a Gerson. Lo'avdo, l'romo, l'farsim, g'dulaso, mishmato. Then the Rambam continues and he says, Vein osin osom emtsoyim la'agia bohem elov. You don't make them intermediaries. Okay. What does it mean you don't make them intermediaries? What's the gist of the Ibn Tibbon?
Shehu Yisparich Hu Aroi La'avdo U'Legadlo U'Lehodiyo G'dulaso V'Lasos Mitzvosov Shol Yasu Kazel Mishavu Tafta V'Mitzios V'Namalachim V'Chav Magalgal V'Yisodos V'Mashavorkov Mehem V'Fisha Kulam V'Baim V'Al Pulasom Ein Mishpat V'Lo B'Chira Ela Lo Levada Hashem Yisparich V'Chein Ein Roi La'avdom K'dei L'Chios Sama Yisodom.
Yeah, V'Chein Ein Roi La'avdom Kidei, Lios Memtzoim. See, that's what Kafach is missing over here. But that's definitely what the Rambam meant. What he meant is like this. There's a difference between if the Malach is Mamuna on a certain area, and you intelligently place a request before him, that's not considered a Avodah Zarah. I mean, on the contrary, he has to have the information. God gave him the knowledge and the ability to accomplish the task, and you're giving him the information. But you're not trying to appeal to him. You're not trying to appeal to him. You see, that's why the Rambam says, why does the Rambam say, he starts off with L'Romamo, L'Farsem G'dulaso, Mishmato, So the thing is, he's speaking about praise, because, and that's why tefillah has shevach, because in tefillah you are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're trying to find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're trying to find favor in the eyes of the intermediary, then that's Avodah Zarah. If you're asking a request because he has a specific ability and you're just helping him logically make his conclusion because he doesn't have the facts, that's not Avodah Zarah. There's a difference in that between trying to find favor in his eyes. That is the dividing line. And favor in his eyes has to do with praise. Okay, that's what Rambam says, you can't praise him. That's the difference. Okay, the critical difference is whether you're trying to find favor in his eyes or whether you're simply placing a logical request because he might not have all the information. So favor in his eyes means that you praise him, and that praise has to be of an absolute nature. So it doesn't matter, like I said before, if you believe that he has a certain sphere of action, which is totally entrusted to him because of his nature, but if you believe he's a prime mover in that area, and you're trying to endear yourself to him to find favor in his eyes, that's absolute praise, and that's Avodah Zarah. That's Avodah Zarah. Okay? That attitude is only applicable to God. But that attitude towards any other being is Avodah Zarah. That's basically what he's saying. That's the difference. Okay, does that answer your question?
His love wasn't trying to find favor with when he put the request. He wasn't trying to prepare. Their decision wouldn't be based upon anything he would do.
No, that's right. It's not based on whether the Malach likes him or not.
Right.
He's not trying to endear himself to the Malach. All he's trying to do is tell the Malach that your job is to do such and such, and you're not going to be able to accomplish it because I'm not in condition to run to the mountain. Pentibakani or Ravamati. Okay? What? That's true, but that lashon is simply a lashon of cover. But it's not that he really wanted to, because he meant to say that he placed the proper request and he responded properly, but not that he really intended to. It's completely up to him. He intended to find favor in his eyes. Yes.
Just explain what that means.
That's lashon kavod. What? Okay, that's a good question. That's the next question. All right. Okay.
It also presupposes.
I think we went through Ramban about the Malach, that the Malach has to study the situation, and he has to, by Makas Bechoros, he has to study the situation, and he has to use his intelligence to find that information, and then when he finds out the information, to decide what's the appropriate move to make. So that's all what the Ram is saying in the Mora. Same thing as Ramban says. But to...
So
yeah, the Leitin of Mashkas. By the Mashkas, right. That's right. Right. Okay. Yeah. So man is different. By man, that's simply because you know that he has emotions, so you want to be favorable in his eyes in terms of his emotions, not because you think he's an absolute being. If you do, then it's a Avodah Zarah. That's like a Chaim Volozhiner says, that a person can have a certain relationship even to a Navi, and the Navi could be a Avodah Zarah. That's if he looks at the Navi as endowed with Chachmas Hashem, or as a human being, he doesn't want to get him angry, that's okay. Because he wants to find favor in his eyes because he knows he has emotions. So that's not Avodah Zarah. But if he looks to him as in terms of absolute praise, that he's a prime mover, and everything is in his control, and he's the one that he has to find favor in his eyes, that's Avodah Zarah. Okay?
That's right.
The Rav Shmuel didn't want to dash in yes, because as Hashem l'kechatir l'rabba, there can't be anybody else. But Rabbi Akiva said no, that to be miskarif to a Talmud Chacham, because you know that that's the Derech Hashem, that's mutter. Yes. The person could be before a king and can worship and deify a king. That was the story with Nebuchadnezzar. Why wouldn't they, what was the issue of bowing down to the Tzelem? The Tzelem wasn't Avodah Zarah. But the answer was because he deified himself, made himself an absolute, like Paro. Li Yaori Vani Asisini. So it means that he as if he created himself. He's a prime mover. So if he envisions himself a prime mover and people envision him as such, that their whole life is dependent on this person, this melech, then that's Avodah Zarah. That's what Chazal said. That was by Haman. It's a fine line, but it's a big difference. Okay? All right, now the question is, let's take the question is in a different way. He says, Vein osim osam, was Lashon of, Vein osim osam, la'avdam?
Vein osim osam, v'chein, I guess, ein roi la'avdam?
V'chein ein roi la'avdam.
Kidei
li'osam tzoyim. Okay, so what is wrong with Emtsoyim? So Emtsoyim, we explain, because then you're saying that he's a prime mover. Okay? He's a prime mover, but just a second. So the question is like this. Let's say you don't worship them. You don't try to find favor in their eyes and set them up as a prime mover. But let us say, what is wrong with... How does the Ram have it in the Hilchos Tshuva? Where he says he can't be mispalled to a malach. The Ram over here has it. The Ram over here has it. He has the same way he has it by Ibn Tibbon's translation. He says v'chein ha'ove kochav amazel v'zulaso kidelios melitz beino uvein ribon olamim. Okay, so it means that he serves him, that he tries to find favor in his eyes, that he should be a melech.
To save him?
What?
What's
melech? Melech means like someone will talk in your favor, an intercessor. An intercessor. The Rambam is in Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin. Okay. So what would be wrong... What would be wrong, for instance, if the person would believe that the malach is mamuna ala tefillah, and that's the way God set it up, and you have to present your tefillah to him, and he presents it to God? Would that be a violation of the Rambam or not? You're using him as an intermediary. See, that depends on the translation. Because according to Ibn Tibbon, it's la'avdo, right? According to Kafach, is ain't no sense of some like Ibrahim, I love it at all. What's the end of the Lashon of the Rambam and Ibn Tibbon? Okay. You see, so there's two things that Aram has there. That one is to serve them, and to serve them and to find a appeal in their eyes, so that they should be a melech for that's real Avodah Zarah. But then he says also, he ends it off with that your machshava should only be to God. V'yaniach kol ma'aseh zulaso. Okay, that implies that any form of medium is usher. not the same perhaps as the first part. First part makes the person a minion of the Avodah Zarah. But the second part also is partakes of that. But it's not as serious, apparently. So therefore, to use a malach as a medium in any sense is a violation. In other words, even if you don't believe that he is a prime mover, but you just use him as you say, like he's mamuna on the tefillah. So you ask him to please bring this tefillah to God. I mean, you have that in some of the tefillahs which they take out. That, for instance, on Rosh Hashanah and Hinani, Kol Malachim Shehem Pol Le Tefillah, Yevia Tefillosai Lefnei Chisech Vodecha. So we skip that because it's against the Rama. But that's not real avodah zara, because you're not really trying to find favor in the eyes of the malach, but you're asking the malach to act on your behalf as an intercessor to bring the tefillah to God, so to speak. That's like some type of a medium. So it would seem that the Rambam holds that's usher too. Stems from the same isser. But he has that on the when he comes back around. Like he tells you what the major isser is. The major isser is la'avdam. I think his translation is better than him. And then he says, and then he comes back and says, Ella, what's the lesson again over there? So there he's saying that there shouldn't be any intermediary in any sense, even if it's not in the sense of a prime mover. Okay? So why not? I mean, that's the machlokes really with the machnisei tefillah, machnisei rachamim. The machnisei rachamim is not really avodah zarah, even according to the Rambam, because he's not really trying to find appeal and favor in the eyes of the malach. But he thinks that the malach somehow can assist him in bringing this tefillah before God. He's not roy to bring the tefillah before God himself. But the Rambam apparently holds that that's usher also. Okay, so you can make a request of a malach, but why can't you make that request, that he should bring the tefillah before God? That request, apparently, even as a request, is still prohibited, according to the Rambam. And according to those that say the other way, they hold that that's not prohibited. Okay? Yeah. Dor Enosh is simple, why it's avodah zarah. Because they were saying that God is like a melech bas of Adam, and he appoints his officers. And if you give the officers honor, you're honoring him. So that's good for a human being who needs honor. But before God, that's a completely anthropomorphic idea. So that's why that's what Ram calls it, that horrible idea. That's why Dor Enosh is avodah zarah. Because it's anthropomorphic. That's a different problem. Okay? But it's important. It belongs in this area. Okay, so what do you say? Why is that so? And that has to do with your question, Aaron. Question is, what does it mean to find favor in God's eyes? What do you mean? What does it mean? I think the answer to this question is the Yesod and Tefillah. Yes? So I think it gets back to Aaron's question. What does it mean that you find favor in God's eyes? What does that mean? What are you doing in Tefillah? You say you're trying to find favor in God's eyes. What exactly does that mean? What's the concept there? Basic concept in Tefillah. So in tefillah, the thing is like this. In tefillah, we say you have to put together a logical request, correct? Like by Chana. All right? So from the standpoint of a logical request, you could say that a malach could be appointed to receive the logical requests. Okay? It's a request like any other request. And the malach will determine whether this request makes sense, and will filter through the malach. You see? But that's if tefillah was just a logical request. But tefillah is more than a logical request. What is tefillah based on, really? What is it based on, tefillah? What is the rock bottom concept in tefillah? What? Yeah, okay, but then therefore? You have the right to request things. It's based on what? It's based on Hashem, Hashem, kel racham achanam. That's what it's based on. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's called rachami. Rachami means, and tchina, chen. What it means is that I have a right because God, because he's a racham, so that's why I have a right that I am a yotzor. I am his creation, and I have a right to come before him and simply place a request, even though I don't deserve it. If it's a logical request, I have a right to do it, to place it before him, and even though I don't deserve the response, or I don't deserve it, doesn't matter. But because the midas harachamim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shomei atfilah. That's a midas harachamim. That's why it's called Rachme. That's why tefillah is called Rachme. Rachme means midas Rachme. Hashem Hashem Kav Rachmachanu. Okay? Without that yisod, tefillah would just be a logical request. But it's more than a logical request. Yeah, you have to. It has to be a logical request, because if it's not logical, so then, so to speak, you're not nosachem beinav, because you're not following his derech, not following the Darkei Hashem. So you're not close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But tefillah is really rachami, and it's really iskarvus elav yisbarach. It's become close to him. It's a different realm. Korov ad Hashem l'chol korov l'chol asher yikru v'emes. Doesn't say that God answers the tefillah. It says korov Hashem, l'chol korov. So it's kravus l'makom, through acting in the darkei Hashem, through v'alachta b'drachav. And the individual can place a request, even though he's not roi, but because of the midas harachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he appeals to the rachmi. I'm a yotzur, and you're the borei, and I need this. And that's why, and you're a racham of al kol ma'asov. Because of a racham of al kol ma'asov, that's why I'm placing that request before God. Okay? That's the yisod of tefillah. That's what it means, no sachem be'enov. Okay? So, it's kravos lamakom through the recognition of the fact that he's the borei olam, you're a yotzur, and the racham of al kol ma'asov. That's really the fundamental principle of tefillah. So, if you need an emtzoi, you're lacking in the whole foundation of tefillah. Because then you're saying that it's not v'racham av'al kol ma'asav. You don't have a right to present yourself before Kadosh Baruch Hu and to place a request and to say appeal to midas, to the midas harachmim of Kadosh Baruch Hu, racham av'al kol ma'asav. So there's no kravus l'makom insofar as your knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how to reach him and how to request from him something that's significant in your life, something that's significant to you. So the whole foundation and fundamental principle of tefillah is lacking. That's why the Rambam answers that too. So even if you were to simply place a request before a malach, not that you want to find favor in his eyes as if he's a prime mover and he has total shlita over some area. That would be real avodah zara. That's liavdo. That's the way Ibn Tibbon's translation is. The correct translation, that's correct. But even if you would use the malach as a medium in any way, that's why the Rambam says, Ela klapov yisala. What did I say? What was lashon?
Dovad.
Elav dovad. Only him. Because in only him, it means then you're recognizing the foundation of the idea of tefillah. That's the foundation of the idea of tefillah. That racham Hashem Hashem kel racham v'chanon. The racham of al kol ma'asav. So if he would place an intermediary between you and him, then it wouldn't be racham of al kol ma'asav.
It's not a vodazar,
but it's a lack in, all of vodazar is a lack in the idea of God. So, it would, in that sense, it's a vodazar. It's an extension from this yisod.
He does mention at the end that the yisod is chizyer
al-vodazar. Al-vodazar, yeah. Could be also that leads to vodazar, but that's something else. But that's the basic idea. Rahmah v'kamasav, yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Because if he knows what I want, and if I and rachmav al kol ma'asav means is korov Hashem l'chol korov, that's the rachmav, that he's close to his creation. Korov Hashem l'chol korov, l'chol asher yikru v'emes. It means that there's a kravus, and that's an aspect of the of rachme, that rachmav al kol ma'asav means that he directly relates to his creatures. He's korov to them. And this would be a richuk. This would be richuk. It would lack in the midas harachmim. That would not be a platform for tefillah. It's not an appropriate platform for tefillah to the one that is all racham. Yes.
So according to the sheet as a whole, that Lo was speaking to the angel and not to the...
That Lo was speaking. No, because the angel, that has nothing to do with it, because That's the angel is using his intelligence and his bechira, and Lot is giving him information and making a request. What does that have to do with this?
Lo Lotus came to the angel, to Lotus with the Tzohar, he should be speaking straight to Hashem.
To who?
Lotus should be speaking straight to Hashem.
No, because the angel was Mamuna. This is the angel's province. He was sent for that purpose, and he's an intelligence. And he has to give him the information, so he's placing a request. There's nothing wrong with it.
So when do you do that, and when do you pray directly to Hashem?
When it's not in a situation where there's a malach das mamona on it. In other words, no, two things. There's two things over here. In other words, to try to find favor in the eyes of the angel, that's avodah zarah, to consider him a prime mover. But an angel is sent by God to accomplish something, and in order to accomplish it, he has to use his intelligence, and you can ask him to do something if you have information that he doesn't have, and he's in charge of that accomplishment. That was, I don't understand what the question is. Why you're not using him as a... That has a hammer and a nail and is ready to make a chair. Instead of doing that, instead of using the hammer and the nail, he'll speak to Hashem. He'll be mispalt to Hashem. It doesn't make any sense because Hashem already sent the shaliach to accomplish it. So why should he, on the contrary? That would be like in violation of what Hashem's wisdom declares.
He's denying natural law.
Yeah, he's denying his natural law.
An
angel is natural law, yes?
He says,
Lakarva may love. That's correct. Because the kiruv is the yisod of tefillah. The kiruv. Kiruv I love is barach. So that's what tefillah is built on. Tefillah is built on rachma alakol maaser. And this would be a distance, not kiruv. Rachmav means kiruv. Kiruv is a part of a rachmav. It's part of a rachma alakol maaser. And to have intermediaries would be a distance. It would mean that God placed a distance between himself and his creatures. And that would be contrary to the fundamental principle of tefillah. That's why the Rambam says it. Yes. Yeah, Chazal say that the tefillah of the Chola himself is always the most important tefillah. By Yishmael, Kol Anar, by Yishmael. But it doesn't mean that that other people, that their tefillahs are worthless. And so far, if you use them as an intermediary, in other words, that it's not their tefillah, but you just tell him you can't pray directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so say, you pray for me. That's awesome. But if they have an interest and they have their own tefillah, because they have an interest in you and you form a part of their life insofar as it's their tefillah, so it functions as their tefillah. And that's not an intermediary. That's mutter.
You mean a tzaddik is a gavra mispalo. Malach is not a gavra mispalo.
That's because the tzaddik is mispalo insofar as it concerns him. So that's an additional tefillah. But if you go to the tzaddik and you say, I can't pray to Hashem, you pray for me. That's a avodah zarah. That's a avodah zarah. Right. But if you say that I'm asking you to pray to Hashem because I'm a valuable person to you, and to Klal Yisrael, so then it's his tefillah.
Right. Really?
Yeah. Because part of the rachme Hashem is the person recognizes that he's karov l'Hashem. That's part of the rachman. Because that's midas rachman, that the person can feel and know that he's karov l'Hashem. That's an important thing for a person. That's the height of rachman. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva. Emesh hayezem aruchok me'akadosh baruch hu, mesua v'toheva, v'yom ol v'nechmat karov yedid. So that's rachme Hashem, that the person knows, can know that he has that ability to be karav l'Hashem. That's rachme. That is midas rachme. That's the highest midas rachme, because that's the most important thing for the person. Yes. Yeah, one more point. We mentioned on Shabbos that how did the malach, it's not like the malach received the tzivui, destroy five cities, and then he has to go back and reinterpret the tzivui. That would be like looking for a kind of a physical type of thing where, you know, he's bound by these words, like you're looking for a structure, like a structure of a dibor. It means that the way the malach conceives of his shlichus is through intellectuality and through chachma. So intellectually, he knew the five cities are worthy of destruction. But it wasn't that he received the tzivui to destroy them, and then he has to go against the tzivui or change the tzivui. It means that he perceives it in an intellectual way, and then he works with it and sees what the proper, what the appropriate solution is. Okay, it's a different type of receiving of a tzivui. It's through chachma. Okay.